This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Question about the Porcupine Freedom Festival. We have Dennis Pratt with us. He is the current organizer of the event, calling us from his home in Dover. And we go to the phones here at 603-283-6160. We kind of talked about some of the background behind Dennis and where he comes from, which is the big city, New York City, and some of the other cities like Chicago, where he spent some time and was raised as a socialist, ended up changing his viewpoint after a lot of intellectual discussion with one of his the people that he worked with. And we've got him back here on the line here. Dennis, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
We got you loud and clear. In fact, we also have a call on the line from Alu Axelman from LibertyBlock.com. Alu, a prolific libertarian author who I believe will be doing a debate at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Alu, tell us about the debate you're having. Do you know when and where that's going to be occurring?
Yes, sir, and hello to Dennis. I'm glad you made it onto the show. I am debating against Stephen Villiers, my good friend, who's also on the board of the FNHI.
The Foundation for New Hampshire Independence.
Yes, sir. We'll be debating on Thursday the 22nd at 12 noon at RV60, which is a Free State based.
Okay, cool. So this is one of the many, many, what is it? How many dozen hubs are there, Dennis, at this Porcupine Freedom Festival? The Free State based is just one of many, right?
Right. I mean, there, you know, so Porkfest always had some groups doing things in the campground. So they always had that. What they didn't have was actually being able to put those into the official directory and have, Porkfest provide the schedule of their events.
And this was in a lot of ways the fault of Hoover, which was very centralized, very expensive. It worked very well, but it was very limited. And I mean, the mechanism simply wasn't there for people out there in the campground to get their events on the Hoover app, which is what at the time ran the festival, right?
No. It was actually a different philosophy of how to run the Porkfest. Now I actually started. I prototyped this on Hoover. So the hubs that you see now, I actually prototyped in 2020 on Hoover. Now it didn't work all that well. It was hard. And so I had to write a lot of software to actually support it separately. So what you have now is actually supported by my software. But last year we had 70 something hubs. Right now we had 55 that were officially on the directory. And then, you know, there's always the hubs that just refuse to, you know, I'm not going to report myself to the man.
LRN.FM. There, we got to hit the old dump button on you because you can't say that one on the radio. But yes, what you're referring to was people who, some people just don't want to sign up for stuff. They don't want to join stuff, and that's fine. And those people are certainly welcome as well. But just to kind of explain what a hub is, what is a hub?
Yeah, so the hub was, I basically said, look, you know, whatever it is that you want to do. I mean, my first year, I think I explained, I went around and asked people what they were doing in the Free State. Everyone was so passionate and they were so excited to share. And then, you know, they were excited to put on a program. And so that's basically what I did. I said, okay, you know, whatever your passion area is, and I don't really care what it is, if you have something that you're passionate about, bring it to Porkfest. Share it with the people at Porkfest. Now, a lot of the things are liberty-oriented. They might be products, or they might be services, or they might be food. oriented. They might be a lounge where people just hang out and just enjoy each other, or they might be a venue where they actually put on, you know, a full range of programming. That could be everything from talks to how-tos to experiential things to debates, like Lou was talking about. But last year we had about 70 or so, 70, 75. This year we'll have about 125.
That's amazing. So, Alu, you're going to have a debate about what?
So Stephen Villiers and I both support New Hampshire Independence. We're both on the board. And he has a somewhat different approach. He has a very more conservative and less conflict.
Right.
He has
the approach of let's ask approach. Permission from master before,
right.
You know, before we leave.
How asinine. Excuse me, husband who beats me every day. May I have permission to divorce you?
Right. So that'd be an interesting debate.
He wrote a book about it called the Club 75 Alliance Manifesto. I'm reading it now. I'm almost finished. It's very good. It's the same as his long, very well-produced video online explaining pretty much how he wants to get liberty people to the state of New Hampshire, especially those who love liberty and hate the federal income tax.
Yeah, he's a great activist. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm downing Steve Villiers. I mean,
it's going to be a great debate.
He's a long-time treasurer for the Free State Project, and he holds some other roles as well. So definitely a doer, definitely a mover and a shaker, and he's just of the belief that let's get his project is to migrate people who are wealthy to New Hampshire, because obviously freedom benefits those people too. Get wealthy libertarians to move to New Hampshire and then essentially petition the federal government to leave. So it sounds like you're boning up by reading his book. That way you're prepared. You know everything that's going to come out of his mouth at the debate. Very, very good. Good strategy.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a very good book. So I'm doing that, but I'm doing like 10 other events.
Of course.
I can tell myself I'm going to chill out at Porkfest, but I keep...
He's also doing 9 of the 10 all at the same time. He will actually be in 10 different, 9 different places all at once.
And he has a kid. He destroys the whole idea that you can't be an activist and have a kid.
That's true.
All of this
That's
super
true.
Active. Have so much energy.
Yeah, thank you. In a sense, it's gotten a lot busier. Like I'm with my baby like all the time. But in a sense, I haven't like had to draw back that much on the activism. So like I've still been able to go to the state house to actually testify on bills a few times this session, and I'm still writing almost as much as ever. So I'm still able to do a lot of stuff. But obviously, the baby is a top priority, and he does take some time. But yeah, you can definitely still be an activist with plenty of kids.
I know you're gonna have a booth. Go ahead, Dennis.
You just published a book, didn't you? You just released it 2 days ago or something.
Yes, sir. Yep. About 2-3 days ago, I was going to mention that as well. So I finally wrote about gun control in a book, and it's called The Pocket Guide to Killing Gun Control. And I think it's a unique, comprehensive kind of guide, mostly preaching to the choir, which is most of what I do, but it's for all libertarians, conservatives, anarchists, or even centrists or leftists who even support gun control, because it approaches destroying gun control in the debate from 3 totally different areas. So whether you want to argue constitutionally and based on what the Constitution says and case law and SCOTUS and history and founders, or you want to debate as far as human principles, natural negative rights, which is my favorite argument. It's a natural right to property and to self-defense, and a gun is a piece of property. So it's those 2 natural rights. And the third one is the practical argument of looking at statistics. It's pretty much 100% correlation. There's an association between looser laws and safer places and stricter laws and more dangerous places, like Dennis mentioned, you know, Chicago, New York City, New Jersey. I also live in New York City and New Jersey. I can tell you from first-hand experience, they're very dangerous, and they're the 2 most strict gun control places in the union.
Did you have something, Alu, that you were looking forward to besides, you know, events you're going to be involved in? Is there something at the Porcupine Freedom Festival that's happening that is particularly interesting to you, something that you don't want to miss?
I mean, there's tons of stuff. I have a lot of things written down I don't want to miss, but there's going to be a lot of great talks. I mean, Nikki and Renee are going to do some natural childbirth and know your rights type of stuff. I'll probably go to those. Are going to be very interesting to me. I'm hoping to play football at least once or twice. I'm hoping to grapple and box, and I'm putting on some clinics of grappling and boxing for people for free. But the big thing is, I would just say, seeing friends I haven't seen in a year. I mean, there are so many people that I know I see every year at Porkfest. I yell at them for not moving to New Hampshire so I can see them more, and it's all fun and just hanging out and relaxing. And I promise I'm going to meditate this year and go to Nikki's morning yoga at least once.
Nice.
I tell myself every year, but I never do. But as I'm sure you guys understand, I need to meditate. So I'm going to do that this year and chill out and take in the fresh air a little bit because I do need to relax a bit.
Can you quiet the inner voice, Alu?
I've done it for you know, a minute to 5 minutes here and there, but right. I want to do it more.
All right. That's a good goal, Alu. Anything else you want to share with us tonight?
That's all. Just check out the book, please. It's The Pocket Guide to Killing Gun Control. It's on Amazon and everything. And find me and pick it up in person.
Alu Axelman is the author there. Thank you for the call tonight. Appreciate it. So, Dennis, so we've been talking about the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I wanted to talk about something that I thought was a really good move that the Porkfest made. And I think you get credit for this. Correct me if I'm wrong. Or give credit to whoever deserves it. But there was a big protest that happened, and I feel like it was 2018 or 2019, where the vendors just said, you know what, we've had it with these vendor fees, we've had it with all the rules, and they went over and they created their own vendor area that was outside of the sort of the classic zone. There's this thing called Agora Valley, which is a few different RV sites or rows of RV sites right as you sort of heading up towards the pavilion. That used to be the real hot spot for years. That was where everybody who wanted to be seen would locate, and it was a very, very popular place to be.
It still is now.
Well, it is now, yeah. But there was one year, I think it was 2018 or 2019, where the vendors were just like tired of all the rules that previous organizers had come up with, and there were always reasons for the rules, but they were tired of it, and they were tired of the vendors' fees, and they said, you know what, we're just going to go over here, and they made this this row that was kind of like a little ways down, and almost every vendor went over there. Where were you during this? Were you sort of like assisting with the Porcupine Freedom Festival at that time? And was it you who made the decision, you know what, let's get rid of these vendor fees, let's decentralize the campground, let's step away as this sort of organizing force of the Free State Project, which is, if I recall correctly, used to actually rent the entire campground or reserve it or something. And at some point, somebody in leadership said, this isn't working, we've upset the vendors. And there's a revolt. They didn't leave the event. They just went and they did their own thing. How did that come about? Were you involved in that?
Yeah, I mean, that was part of my redesign. So I did an extensive redesign of Porkfest. Now, what you're talking about some decisions that Jessica made, I don't think you realize where Porkfest was. Porkfest is, a very important, at least nominally, an important part of the Free State Project. The idea is, you know, we're trying to build this Liberty Homeland. How do we get people to come? Well, what if we give them an experience, a little taste of what that might look like? And that is what the Porcupine Freedom Festival is. You know, I call it an immersion into a simulated Freedom Village. For a week. The trouble was that, you know, for a variety of reasons, and I had to study it and think through it, what the reasons were. Porkfest was always right on the edge of losing money. If it wasn't losing money, or you'd have to kind of look squinty whether it was losing money or not.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't serving us in terms of getting movers here. It was costing the organization even more than the money. It was costing us enormous amounts of volunteer time. It's not free. Volunteer time is not free. It's taken away from other things.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was, you know, do we keep it up? Do we keep going with this Porcupine Freedom Festival as something that's run by and for the FSP? Do we shut it down? Do we spin it off? And Jessica was looking at, okay, what if we spun it off and we don't actually have cash to kind of run it from behind? You know, could it actually break even? Is that something that's possible? One of the ideas that she had was, okay, look, you know, you have these vendors coming. Why aren't they kind of helping pay for this thing? And so that was that attempt. But yeah, when I took it over, I diagnosed the problem quite differently. I used a number of models, including Forkfest, including Jack, Jack Schmeck's, how do you pronounce his last name?
Alt Expo. Yeah, Schimmick, Alt Expo, which was.
Schimmick. Jack, yeah, the Alt Expo. A lot of that just said, okay, what if we actually design this quite differently? And I took it away from, you know, you keep on talking about, your model is the OG model of Porkfest being down in the bowl and that type of thing. I jumped that model almost immediately. I said, we shouldn't be a hierarchical Porkfest. It shouldn't be something that's done by the organizers, run from the field and the pavilion. And instead, the Porkfest should be throughout the entire campground. Now, if I had the energy, and I don't, last year was supposed to be my last year. But where I would be going were a younger man, is Rogers Campground would turn into a total fairground. It would be a fairground Liberty Village. And you would actually camp across the street in the field or some other place. There would be campgrounds. You'd be staying off site. You know, there would be some people still there, but it would be a much larger, you know, we're talking, you know, gigantic festival with 330 hubs. And that's really where I was heading. Last year, I just don't have, I'm an old man. I don't have that much energy. Last year was supposed to be my last year. The hubs that what I do is very hard to do. It takes a special skill and it takes a lot of work. And they basically decided they were going to go ahead and kind of jump the whole thing and go back to the bowl idea. And I said, not for XX. I just couldn't do it. Because I spent so much time bringing this.
What do you mean by that? What's the bowl idea?
Well, it's your model of Porkfest happens down in the bowl. It happens in the field. It happens in the tents and the pavilion down in the field.
Yeah, I think we're having a disagreement about
what that means. As opposed to what happens in the campground.
Because the way Porkfest is right now, it's the bowl area and what happens down there at the bottom of the hill, where the campground as a whole is not Porkfest.
Well, I mean, it's all Porkfest. But go ahead.
And Ari and I have had this discussion. That was intentionally not the model that I was used. That I used. Porkfest is actually the campground. The campground of the Porkfest is the campground. What's going on there is the hubs. That is the center of the focus. And if anything, the field. Last year we actually had a number of the sponsors who were going, everything's going on up in the campground. I go, yes. And they go, well, yeah, that's really kind of bad. and you know, if you had a map of the center of activity and where it's shifted over the last 5 years when I've been working on this, mm-hmm. you would see it's moving right out into the campground that I put in the Silk Road. Right, the Silk Road is a cut across that cuts across the campground to open up the campground, so that we could have lots and lots and lots of hubs all across that campground. And you know, we'll get into this at some point, but the pavilion is no longer represents us. It doesn't represent anything except that if there's a hub that has a lot of attendees coming for it. That's overflow.
So I think that
so
when
you actually have an event, if you have an event, and that's how I make my decision. That's how I made my decision this year, is that if you bring a speaker or someone that you can't feature at your hub, I want all the activity happening in the campground. I want all the activity happening in the hubs. I think that models what it is that we're doing. We are a decentralized bottom up movement. And having this act as though this is a top-down, hierarchical, centralized convention, it's not. That's not what it is. This is
you say that, but then you call the pavilion your pavilion. And Porkfest your campground and stuff.
I can certainly get to that, Ari. I'm talking about the model, though. And what I'm saying is that the model is that the campground is where the activities are. The things that happen at the pavilion... Yes, they come down. I own a hub called the Pavilion, just like you own a hub called Free Talk Live.
Now, let me just clarify
at
with
your
you
hub,
on that, Dennis, before you go on. So when you say you own the hub, the pavilion, this is a question I don't think I've gotten answered before. Did you rent the pavilion, you personally, or was that the Free State Project, Porcupine Freedom Festival budget that did that?
Yeah, so I make those decisions. So yeah, I do. I mean, so did you rent the Free Talk Live thing, or was it, the Free Talk Live company that rented it?
There's no Free Talk Live company, yeah. And there's an agreement we have with the campground in that particular case. So yes, Free Talk Live, whether it be Aria or me or whoever it is that that cut that deal with the campground. So in the same way, you know, as I understand it, the pavilion area and most of the official kind of Rogers campground facilities that are there, it's not just the pavilion, there's a few other things they have, there's like $1,000 a day rental fee in order to rent that typically. Like if you're going to come in there, you want to have a wedding, for instance, as Jay Noon did several years ago during Forkfest. They had their wedding there. They had to pay to rent the pavilion because no one else was renting it. During Forkfest, it's, you know, if someone wants to rent the pavilion, then they can rent the pavilion. If not, then it's closed. And so I guess the question is the money coming to rent the pavilion, presuming it's costing something, is that coming from you personally or is that coming from the Free State Project?
It's coming from the revenues that we're generating through the, for Porkfest.
Right. So is it really true to say that it's yours? I mean, it is your responsibility.
It is mine in that I'm running Porkfest.
Right. So you, it's your responsibility. You are running the event, but it wasn't actually your funds that went into it. It's the event's funds. It's the funds of the, you know, the people who are buying tickets, the funds of, you know, anybody that might be a sponsor of the event that you're managing. Right, it wasn't you personally. You didn't cut a check from your own personal bank account.
Right, but
right.
It's right. So I mean, it's you have a company, and the company puts something out. The guy who's running that company makes the rules for that thing.
Yeah, and I think that's where some of the confusion has come in. Maybe some of the frustration. I know that some people have decided they don't want to attend the event over some of the decisions that have been made. And I want to make sure I'm clear on this, Dennis. What I've been saying on the air is, while I may not agree with every decision that somebody makes as far as running this particular festival, and no one ever will, like I said, it's a hard job to have, I've never said anyone should boycott the event.
Just don't go to the particular events that you don't support. It's easy.
I think people should still go to the event, still, you know, buy a ticket, go enjoy the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I'm actually between you and Dennis on this one, Aria. I think that the entire place is the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but only so much of it is actually run by the Free State Project as far as, you know, they're renting the pavilion, they're renting the tents in the bowl area, things like that. We can talk a little bit further about it. Dennis, you're with us until we're done, which we don't know when that's going to be. The number here, if you want to join the show, is 603-283-6160. If you've got a question for Dennis Kraft, he's the organizer of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And we got more coming up here. You can join the show, and you can join us online, of course, over at freetalklive.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You USA News update. House Oversight Chair Republican James Comer is initiating contempt proceedings against FBI Director Christopher Wray. Comer claiming the FBI is refusing to hand over an unclassified document related to President Biden's alleged involvement in a criminal bribery scheme.
Americans have lost trust in the FBI's ability to enforce the law impartially and demand answers, transparency, and accountability.
The FBI has offered to review the document in a secure area on Capitol Hill, but Comer insists the Bureau is still not complying with a subpoena. Former President Trump's lawyers met with Justice Department officials today regarding a special counsel investigation into alleged mishandling of classified documents. Trump's team had requested that meeting, citing prosecutorial misconduct concerns. The hashtag Boycott NASCAR is going around and gaining traction, all because NASCAR tweeted a photo supporting the LGBTQ community. John Schaefer, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here if you got a question for the organizer of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, the big event, the world's, I would say, largest libertarian festival that is going on this summer. I don't even think we've given the dates yet. It's coming up. We've just been so busy talking. It's coming up very soon, actually. It starts, I believe, on the 19th, which is a Monday, and it goes through the 25th, which is a Sunday. So it is a full week of hanging out in the woods in the beautiful Rogers Campground, with more liberty-minded people than, honestly, you could possibly talk to in 7 days. And it is really a lot of fun. As Alu Axelman was pointing out, a lot of the time you're going to spend at the Porcupine Freedom Festival is just going to be hanging out with people and talking. There's all kinds of events going on, and Dennis Pratt, the organizer, is with us here. He's pointed out there's going to be over 100 or 125 what they call hubs, which are different locations all around the campsite where different people can organize various different types of topics and goings-on and presentations and debates or
and it's actually
parties.
Libertarians, and it's rare, and it's unlike anything you've ever experienced. It's not conservatives. A lot of people these days are confusing conservatives and libertarians, to the extent that someone commented on my Twitter earlier saying, well, at least half the people at Porkfest are transphobic in their hearts. Anyway, I was like, no, you're confusing conservatives and libertarians again. These people are actual libertarians. Maybe some of them are actually conservative. Maybe 1 in 20 or 1 in 40 or whatever, but by and large,
there's always been a few of them.
The majority of these are like actual libertarians.
You can always tell who the conservatives are because they get their panties in a wad when somebody walks around, you know, wearing underwear or something like that, or in a grass skirt.
I was thinking of going in a bikini.
So, Dennis, you're here with us. We're talking about some of the frustrations of being an organizer of an event like this. It's one of the things when you organize anything that's intending to invite hundreds, if not thousands, of people, is you know somebody's going to get upset. Somebody's going to be mad about something. They're not going to be happy with the curriculum or the guests or the other people at the event. Or there's always somebody who's having a conflict, and you can never make everyone happy. But I want to come back to something that you had said earlier when we were talking about sort of the vision for the event. A lot of the things I really agreed with. It really, you know, really struck home with me, the idea of having speakers who are focused on New Hampshire, porcupine-focused, I think was the terminology that you used, getting away from the Beltway libertarian types, the Reason magazine types, those kinds of people. That really resonated with me as well. And when I organized an event here in Keene, I focused, my one rule basically was that anybody on the stage had to be a New Hampshire-based liberty activist. I only bent that rule one time, and that was for Gavin Andreessen, who is basically the second in command of Bitcoin.
That doesn't count as bending the rule.
Well, I mean, I acknowledge I was bending the rules in that case, and that was my purview as the organizer of the event.
Sure.
And the organizer of the event gets to, you know, gets to do those sorts of things. But inevitably, controversy is going to come up, and I don't want to get too deep into all of the different controversies because they all sort of come from the same issue, which is to say that somebody disagrees with what the organizer decided to do with the main stage. And it's not my event, which is why I say, look, you know, even if we disagree, Dennis, I still am glad that you're there doing what you're doing. I don't blame you for wanting to give it up because it is incredibly stressful having to deal with all this. But also, I've always encouraged people to continue to come to this event. And that includes the time the Porcupine Freedom Festival banned me from the event for a year, without saying it was a year, by the way. We found that out later on. But the first thing I did when I found that out was I wrote an article at freekeen.com saying, hey, I may not be going, but you should still go. I still thought that was such an important event. You know, it isn't about me. It isn't about Dennis. It's about the 1,000, 2,000, maybe even 3,000 people that are going to be there that you can get connected with. So go to porkfest.com, grab your tickets while they are still available, because the tickets are still available. If you want to camp at the campground, Dennis, would you recommend that people get connected with the existing ticket holders, with the people that have campsites? As I understand it, some of them are willing to share campsites and things like that. That sort of thing is going on, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, the Facebook Parkfest Plans is probably the most active. You know, I actually moved a lot of people over to Telegram because you guys were over on Telegram. So, of course, as soon as I moved a couple thousand people over to Telegram, you guys moved over to Matrix.
And then you start going,
you have to move over to Matrix. And I go, do you just realize how hard
it was
to move thousands of people over?
Finally,
and I know,
Chris Wade, finally.
I know, as soon as we move over to Matrix, you're going to be on some other platform.
To be fair, though, Dennis, so, this wasn't our fault. I would love to be on Telegram, but I'm forbidden by the government from using it.
Oh, yeah, that
Ian's
is a big part.
Forbidden from using
it's
it.
True.
Like, yeah. This was a whole big thing when I got out of prison, when I got out of jail. Like, all of the Free Talk Live hosts communicated via Telegram, and then suddenly I wasn't able to use Telegram, and it was making me pull my hair out trying to get these people to use some other avenue besides Telegram so that we could get in touch with them. I was like, hey, are you going to do the show tonight? It was an absolute nightmare. I do not envy you in the least for trying to move people to one platform or the other. I know how nightmarish that is.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing it, though. But we would love to be on Telegram.
I did get such a kick out of it, though, because I go, okay, so I'm going to standardize around the Forkfest platform. And, of course, you guys were pushing it so hard. And I said, okay, and, you know, I can use this. And, oh, my goodness, you should have heard the caterwauling of moving some of this stuff over to Telegram. And, oh my Lord. As soon as we were up and running, I was, you know, I had the schedule up there. And in those days, when we first started moving over there, it was still like, you know, we were talking about maybe 250, 300, events, and it was still kind of hard to get it up there, up on Telegram. You know, now we have 1,000, and, you know, it would be a real pain to put it up there.
And then you guys move,
and you're like going, oh, only losers are on Telegram.
I have never said that.
I love Telegram.
You better hit that spill button.
I think you're referring to Chris Wade.
It's mainly Chris Wade. If I just had to choose one based on, you know, if the government wasn't not allowing my friends to use some of them, you know, forgetting privacy, Telegram's the best one.
Telegram's a very pretty app. Unfortunately, yeah. It is still centrally controlled. So I do understand the criticisms of it.
It is, but they've missed, like, the FBI released a memo, like, a year and a half ago showing how far they could get into some of these things. And Telegram and Signal are right there at the top of things that were safe and secure from prying by the government. It's like,
for the most part, yeah.
I mean,
just use a
destructible chat every time you talk to people. Is that that hard?
So I don't want to go too far off into the tech weeds here. So some of the controversies so far this year, Dennis, have included disagreements, of course, over who's on the main stage. One of the ones that's bubbled up now into apparently mainstream media with WMUR covering is RFK Jr., who is going to be giving a speech at the pavilion.
He's not as hot as JFK.
As hot. Got it. Okay. Well, he's alive, and so he's speaking. And there's other politicians, too.
He's a living politician, which makes him less hot.
Right. So does this, I mean, you said earlier, Dennis, that the way you view the main stage is if somebody can't, you know, if they don't have enough room on the sites in the campground, then you'll book them into the main stage. Does that kind of frustrate you, considering you wanted to get away from Beltway-type people? I mean, you've got essentially people like this RFK Jr., this Vivek guy from the right wing, who's like a total drug warrior, psychopath. You've got some other characters like Tulsi, who will change her, you know, political clothing as often as she thinks it'll benefit her. I mean,
who was this one?
Tulsi Gabbard.
Really?
Yeah,
she
was a Democrat.
From Democrat to Republican last year.
Republican or whatever. I mean, does that frustrate you at all?
I thought she was initially a Republican.
To be booking these people? I mean, because that seems like it's contrary to what you were saying earlier, where it should be focused on porcupines.
Right. So this goes back to whether we're decentralized or centralized. And my rule is you bring me somebody that a lot of the attendees want. So it's, you know, kind of a bottom-up demand. And they want that. You can show me demand, and then we can actually have kind of a libertarian talk. So, for example, Tulsi. I mean, I worked with them on this talk. I love their talk. So Tulsi's talk, it's basically coming from the left and what her path was, her journey out of being the Democratic presidential candidate, and then realizing what it just wasn't fitting, and then going through that issue of, well, am I going to lose all my friends? Am I going to lose all my supporters? You know, because this isn't fitting, and I have to actually leave. But what do I do? She's now politically homeless. She's definitely not a libertarian, but she's politically homeless.
She has anti-war, though. Fits.
Nah, she's only anti-war.
Well, you know, I don't. You know, you're making judgments here. What I judge is, you know, so let's say that Ian comes and says, hey, I've got Joe Blow here. Yeah, I don't really know who Joe Blow is. But I really want him to talk, and boy, there's a lot of people who want him to talk. First thing I'm going to do is find out what the demand is. You know, kind of, is this somebody that really can? Okay, so I took Porkfest, moved it out of the bowl, out, spread out to the campground. Now there's so much activity that's happening in the campground, it's really hard to track people out of the campground back down into the bowl. And so people will come to me and go, I want to be in the bowl. I go, well, you can't attract people. You can't attract enough people down here. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to show me that you can really attract that type of demand down into the bowl. Now, you know, because if you have somebody who, you know, they can attract 30, 40, 50 people. Have them at your hub. That's a fantastic venue. It feels successful. You put 30, 40, 50 people in the pavilion, it feels like a loser situation. Anyway,
I don't know about this.
I want to address
something. You said I was offering up a judgment. No, I was just observing. My understanding of Tulsi Gabbard was that she's anti-war, and I was basing that off of what Mark Edge had said about her. However, in regard to the pavilion, and what was my train of thought going to be?
Attracting enough people?
Yes, thank you, Bonnie. And I don't remember how I was going to even get back to it now, because I got sidetracked thinking about Tulsi Gabbard and whether or not she's anti-war.
If you can come back to it, that's fine. But what I want to know is, why would there be any significant demand at a libertarian event where you yourself...
I haven't even heard it. I'm kind of shocked by hearing this. This is the first time I've heard, lots of people, attendees, want to hear RFK, Vivek Ramaswamy.
Right.
I honestly haven't heard that from people. In fact, I've heard a lot more pushback.
Where
so
you
it's
yourself,
shocking.
Dennis, have, you know, and I agreed with you on this, that this should not be focused on the Beltway types and, you know, we should be focusing on the porcupine people, why would there be any kind of demand to listen to a psychopath like Vivek Ramaswamy, who literally wants to start a hot war with drug cartels in Mexico? Why would anyone want to give this guy the time of day at a libertarian event, let alone put him on the front and center stage? Why is there a demand for this guy?
Why is there?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a marketing guy.
How do you know
I'm
there
a marketing
is?
Guy. And so, well, because I ask people. So, for example, like this RFK thing, right? The people who are loudest on the RFK thing, they say, there's no demand. The market has spoken. It's one segment, one small segment. We have many, many segments within the Free State Project. Many segments.
How are you measuring these people now?
I go and I talk to people in various groups, and I say, you know, who's interested in this? You know, the number of people who want to go see RFK is almost practically sold out. I mean, it's incredible the number of people who want to see it. Now, are they intimidated by the people who are screeching? Yes. As a matter of fact, I get calls all the time of people saying, "Hey, you know, I'm nervous. You know, how can I get in here? Because I don't know what these people are doing." I mean, I think this has been one of the worst shows for the people who really value the right to defend oneself. I think they could have come off and looked really good. And I think that this is very ugly, very ugly.
What you're referring to there.
And so I talked to multiple people.
We need to explain what you're referring to because our audience may not be aware. The RFK, besides the fact that, you know, my big objection is like, you know, this guy isn't a libertarian, shouldn't be on the main stage. But the most people's objection is that there's an extra requirement.
Everyone has to get searched and make sure they don't have a gun. It's going to be a gun-free zone to go see RFK.
Yeah, there's
going to
be security, some form of security. RFK's got private security or whatever, off-duty cops. I don't know who they are. But they're going to be there and ostensibly screening and stopping people from carrying guns into specifically the RFK speech. The rest of the campground will be Porkfest as normal, which typically means people open carrying all over the place. So that's what you're referring to, just for our listeners that may not have been aware.
That's right.
That's the big controversy.
Right. And you know, we have had events, and I think that it's actually prudent to have some events that are not, you know, are gun free. You know, certain events where people are in altered states, and I know that there's also been events where people have actually asked not to have guns at their site. So we have had it in the past. It was a very unusual request, and that was one of those ones that I had to kind of go, you know, geez, is this something that we want to do? And I talked to a large number of groups. They were like, yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. Now, what have you heard? You know, are you actually going and talking to different segments? You know, you're doing a convenience sampling. You're not actually going and looking at these different segments. The segment that is actually very interested in RFK is larger than the segment that's outraged about the gun thing. It's just a larger segment.
Mm-hmm.
But you have no polling data or anything to substantiate that.
I think he said he was selling tickets. Right. Well, are
no,
you
there's
selling?
No tickets.
Oh, I thought he said it's almost sold out. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. The people who have contacted me, there's, let's just say that there will be... you know, we've actually talked about maybe just making standing room, you know, at the back or something like that, because, you know, it's high demand.
Yeah, he's talking to people.
This is related to my question. I did remember it. Like, if the popularity thing is so important, and you know, we're thrilled because RFK has, you know, got this great big crowd, and that's who we want at the pavilion is people who can draw a crowd. Why give any credibility whatsoever to their political persuasion? Why not try to get Donald Trump or Elon Musk or Joe Biden or whoever can bring a crowd if that's the thing that we care about, right?
So in a bottom-up decentralized format, you're absolutely right. So let's say that you came and you said, you know, I have this person here, and I think he's the cat's pajamas.
Donald Trump.
Okay. I'm gonna have to go and find out. You know, are you right? You know, is this somebody that is really gonna pull down people? Because it's hard to pull people down nowadays.
Donald Trump would definitely.
It's much harder than it used to be.
Donald Trump would definitely pull people in.
I'd go watch Donald Trump. Maybe not if it was a gun-free zone out of principle.
Yeah, so let's stay with Trump as the example. Or DeSantis. Either one of them would absolutely pack the pavilion. And
I wouldn't want him at Porkfest, but if he was going to be there and it wasn't up to me, I'd go watch Trump be that close to a celebrity. Yeah.
So my question would be, though, if in theory,
so you would have
Donald
to have
Trump,
a connection with him.
Right.
You would have to go to Dennis and say, I got Trump.
Yeah,
I
would that
bring
be kosher to have
in.
This straight, with this actual warmonger tyrant? Speaking on the main stage at Porkfest?
Right. So I am not making a judgment about the person's libertarianness. Right? That's what you're suggesting.
But why
that
don't
we
you?
Make judgments.
Why not?
Because you're making the judgment. The person who brings me the person, they said, this is something that's appropriate for Porkfest. And then, is this a bottom up? I don't make judgments about your hub. So you can have on your hub, you know, whatever you want. You can do the Jared Queen Story Hour, right? That was the big debate. I'm not making this. And people come back to me. So
and
I've actually
in
had
a scenario,
more people,
though, people literally did threaten violence, and you did nothing about it.
Okay, well, we can talk about that separately, but my point is that you can have what you want on your hub, and the hub that I'm running is not really a hub that is reflective of me. It's reflective of the campground.
Isn't there
a
problem with
that?
It is a
reflection.
I get what you're saying, but if indeed we don't want this to turn into a conservative or an authoritarian or a progressive campsite or campground or event, then doesn't it benefit us to say, no, that's okay. If you want to bring your ultra-right-wing, warmongering psychopath in the form of Vivek Ramaswamy, if you want to bring this person to Porkfest, then have them at your hub. That would have been, I feel like that would have been the appropriate answer, because now what it sounds like you're saying is, as long as there's enough conservatives on the campground, or as long as there's enough, you know, authoritarian leftists on the campground to support having RFK or Vivek speaking, then they'll get to speak, and they can bring in Trump, and they can bring in DeSantis, and they can bring in Biden, or whoever else they want to bring in, as long as there's 100 plus or 200 people who are willing to go see them talk.
And
is that what you want it to turn into?
We have many different examples of why advertising or putting out the signal to conservatives coming to Porkfest is a bad thing. Like, what? For one thing, they're not more on our side than the leftists. It's like, I don't understand where that idea comes from. And another thing, Mikey had $300 of shrink last year from his unmanned vending machines that he said he's never had before. There's more conservatives than ever have ever been there. The one conservative tried to threaten violence against Jeff for being a nudist last year. And I know there's no Maj Touré said he is definitely going to, you know, bring violence. I know we can talk about that separately, but there are multiple reasons why you wouldn't want to advertise to people, hey, this is a conservatarian place. I mean, just safety sounds like number one out of the three examples I just gave.
So I originally had a question, though. I want to come back to that, which is to say that shouldn't you be there to say, you know what, this isn't right for the main stage at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. We don't want to turn this into a conservative party. We don't want to turn this into a warmongering, let's shout down and start killing Mexicans kind of an event. And that's exactly what someone like Vivek Ramaswamy is going to bring to the table. I don't know exactly what RFK is going to say. I hear he's not too good on guns and, you know, some other things he's not so great about. But, you know, is that the kind of audience you want to be bringing to the Porcupine Freedom Festival? I don't think so. I don't think we need these people, Dennis. And you've made this point online that, oh, isn't this great that these people are coming to us? You know, we've got this influence, right? The Free Staters are a political force in New Hampshire. There's no doubt about that. And this is an indicator of that. That's true. But also, we don't need them for Pork Fest to be a great event. It's already going to sell out. It's already sold out the campground, with or without RFK, with or without Vivek. So how does it benefit to pander to these people?
So you're making an argument that you should be making to the people who really want to see them.
I haven't met one.
I don't know who those people
are. I've never heard one person say that. I mean, I'm not saying that
okay, Carlin would want to go see Vivek. Dr. Carlin Borshenko is a fanatic about Vivek. And normally she's very, very rational when it comes to the things that she says and does. But on this one, she's completely ignoring the fact that he is a warmongering psychopath. And she just said, she blew you off the other day, Aria.
She won't answer any questions about it.
Yeah, we say, oh, look, well, here's what Vivek actually said about wanting to go to an actual war with the U.S. military against the cartels in Mexico. And she says, oh, well, I don't want to have this discussion. You can just ask him in person. As though, like, he's just going to have a chat.
As if there's already a video about with him saying, let's start a hot war with Mexico.
There's, like, a ton of video, and there's a ton of comments.
My response is, why are you hearing out a warmonger?
Yeah.
Tune them out.
I mean, so there are some people who obviously have some value for these folks, but that doesn't, I don't think, justify a main stage position. I want you to have your chance, please.
Okay. So the main stage position isn't justified by my decision. Now, there are two criteria that I use. The first is there demand? Is this something that a lot of people are really interested in coming down to see? The second one is, are they talking about a topic that is of interest to libertarians? And with Vivek, you know, we have Matt Kibbe. Going to be interviewing him and asking him some good time. I mean, we actually went through a number of iterations in Vivek because I had trouble with whether, in fact, he could be talking about some libertarian topics.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to continue in hour three coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.